Thank you, Caitlin, for the beautiful song, Jesus Is. To the Christian, Jesus is everything, isn't he? He is our Lord and our Savior. In our church as a body, we pray that everybody who's here today can say that. Everybody who's listening online can say that. That Jesus is everything to you and he is your Lord and your Savior. Good morning. For those who are in person and those who are online, let us commit this in a word of prayer. And before I pray for the message, I think I'll say a prayer for Sylvia too, because we know how much she means to us. She did not give a Revelation seminar back in 1990. I don't know if I would have been saved. So I'm eternally grateful. So let's bow our heads and pray for Sylvia, and then pray for God to help us with the message. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are everything, Lord. We gather as a body in Christ. We rejoice in each other, Lord, when we have blessings and victories and answers to prayers. I mean, we hurt, Lord, when we're going through tough time. And the Ackle family is going through a tough time, Lord. Sylvia is in surgery now, what Dean said. And she's hurting, Lord. We know the doctors, the nurses, and the staff are taking care of her, but you guide their hands. Guide them, Lord. Give them success in the surgery. We pray for Sylvia's pain. She's a servant, Lord. She means so much to our church, Lord. She is a friend, a spiritual mom, a counselor, a mentor. Take care of her, Lord. We know you love her more. And comfort Adel, Lord, our pastor. We know how hard it is on him. And Randy and Shelley and the family, Lord. So please, we ask for good news later today and success. And that we would see them all safe and sound soon. And Lord, now we pray for this message, Lord. We gather to hear your word, not who's behind here. You speak through the speaker, Lord. You give the speaker the message, and you want something said. So I pray for your help and your guidance, and that you be glorified, and we can take something and walk away this week, Lord, that we can chew on it and help us, encourage us in our walk. We just pray all these things in your most precious name we pray. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I was kickback time in the Punzo household on a Saturday, and I turned on the TV, and the show came on, one of those caught-on-camera shows. And I normally don't watch them, but this one particularly got my interest because the title of this one was When Animals Attack. It caught my eye. And I know for some people it's meaningless entertainment, but I'm not that deep of a person, so forgive me. But I love animals, and I love nature, and I thought, yeah, I gotta watch this, see what happens. Why did the animals attack, all right? And as I watched it, and I watched various clips, something dawned on me. The animals weren't necessarily being aggressive or being mean. The animals attacked because, put it bluntly, humans were being stupid. Humans were being foolish. We all know if you're out in nature and you see a black cub bear, you don't go up to like a teddy bear. Because you know, wait, mama's bear is next behind that tree. When I was watching the videos, these two guys, they're in this natural park, and it was a park where there's a lot of elk. So they tell you, the rangers and the park says, if you see elk and you're in your car on a road, stay at a distance and just sit there. Don't do anything. Let the elk pass by. Well, these two guys thought they'd be cute and play chicken with the elk. And they're videotaping it. So they're driving right by the elk, and it's a point where, like, here's their car and the elk is right by their side. And they're laughing, thinking they're going to get by. Well, the elk at that last second turned around and just pounced on their car and did major damage. Another story, a lady was in another natural park, and she was in a park where there was a lot of bison. So she's on this dirt road, and she sees bison to the right, a young, and then to the left, she sees some older bison. And she knew, and she's videotaping, she's like, I gotta stay, let the bison, the mature ones, the parents, basically go with the young, and I'll wait. And she did that. She let the adult bison walk across the road and be with the young. Then she thought, well, they're together, I can still walk on the path road. And she's videotaping. She gets parallel to the bison about 20 feet, and one of the older ones turned around and just ran right into her and threw her into a bush. Now, she's lucky to be alive, but they interviewed her afterwards, and she said, and she kind of laughed about it, which I don't understand why. She could have got killed. She goes, you know, they told me that, you know, don't cross the pathway if there's bison, let them be all together, but I didn't really listen to the advice that I really should have gave more footage between me and the bison. And it got me thinking, you know, in the Christian life, sometimes we can live our lives not listening to the Lord's guidance. not letting him guide us. And watching this funny videos reminding me of an experience I had in college. And I went to San Francisco State, and it was my first semester there, and I was 6 months in the Lord. I became a Christian that fall. I'm new in the Lord. And I saw something I'll never forget, and it stuck with me. And so at San Francisco State, my very first semester, I had like a three-hour break between classes, between my afternoon class and my evening. And usually what I would do is I would go to the student center, or they call it the pyramid at the time, and it's a place where you get food or you get to relax. There's a bookstore, there's an arcade. And on this particular afternoon, I grabbed my lunch and walked outside the student center. And outside the student center, there's a big quad area where all the students hang out. There's a big plot of land, like cement, and there's benches. There's like a half circle of like big plots of grass where students can sit back, play, take a nap. And on this afternoon, I got my lunch, and I went up on a little hill, a little plot of grass. I sat down by myself, and I was looking down at the quad. And I saw a man in the distance walking from a pathway to the pod, the quad area, and he has a soapbox and a megaphone. You know what a soapbox is? It's a public speaker, a self-made makeshift stand. And he stops in the middle of the quad area. So if I'm on the grass here, he's probably by the gate of the church. And he puts his soapbox down, he stands on it, turns on the megaphone. At the top of his lungs, he starts yelling, "You're all sinners going to hell." He is just screaming at the top of his lungs. This is how he starts whatever he wanted to say. So within 5 to 10 minutes, a bunch of students surround him, and they start arguing with him. Got to the point you couldn't hear what he was saying. You couldn't hear what the students were saying. They were just arguing back and forth. Well, ironically, at the same time, I see a man walking into the quad area. And if the distance is, I'm sitting on the grass here, he's probably where the sound room is. And he goes up to 4 or 5 students. You can't hear what he says, but you can see what he's doing. He pulls out a Bible. And you can see him saying to the students, "Can I share something with you?" And you can see he starts witnessing from the Bible. So I'm watching two different situations here. I see a man with a megaphone who's trying to witness whatever the way he felt led. And I see a man quietly doing it to 4 or 5 students. And keep in mind, I'm a new Christian, and I'm learning just things about the Lord. I'm at the stage where I'm like, I need a witness to my family or friends or people that I work with. And I'm watching these two scenarios. And if I go back to the man on the soapbox, it got to the point where they pushed him off the soapbox. They tried to grab the megaphone. He started swinging. And there's a pushing match. There's at least literally 30 students. Campus security came out, and they broke up the situation. He grabbed his megaphone. He grabbed his soapbox. He walked down the pathway he came. I never saw him again. The 20 to 30 students that were yelling at him, they dispersed. And then the quad area got quiet. And then my attention turned to the man who was witnessing to the 4 or 5 students on the bench. It got so quiet where I can now hear what he's saying. And he's wrapping up what he wanted to say, and he says, "Thank you for taking the time to listen to me." And he goes to each student's hand, he shakes their hand, he pulls out of his backpack tracts, and he hands it to each one, and he peacefully goes his way. And I sat there and I watched those students and I said, "Well, okay, are they going to rip the track up? Are they going to throw it on the ground? Are they going to throw it in the garbage can?" Each of those students, I watched them. They each opened the track and they read it. These students did not know each other. It was clear as day they did not know each other. And I watched them. Within 5 to 10 minutes, they each put the track in their backpack and they all went away peacefully. And I sat there to myself and I said, I'm talking to the Lord because I'm amazed at what I just saw. And I said, "Lord, there's a right way and there's a wrong way, isn't there?" And the Lord said, "Rick, there is a right way and there's a wrong way." He knew I wanted to learn how to witness, and he showed me clearly how to do it. But he said something to me that day in the quietness of my heart. He says, "Rick, when you witness or anything in your life, make sure you're guided by the Holy Spirit." You see, I didn't know these two men. I didn't know where they went to church. I didn't know their testimonies. I didn't know what they prayed about, who their mentors. I knew nothing about him, but I knew what I saw, and it's always stuck with me. And through the years as a Christian, through my experiences, and I'm sure through your experiences, looking at my life, whether it's witnessing, whether it's serving, whether it's preaching, whether it's word or action, the right way to live the Christian life is to be guided by the Holy Spirit. You know, I prayed hard to give the right message today. I think anybody who gets up here or you give a devotion to the men, you pray, Lord, help me give the right message. And I knew the Lord wanted to give me this message today, and I titled it Guided by the Holy Spirit. But I was praying about it Friday night. I think the Lord has a sense of humor and his grace. He goes, I already told you to give it, but I'll confirm it with you. This is how the Lord confirms things. Andrew, you don't remember this yesterday, but we played golf. I know, some of us brothers in the 100-degree weather played golf. But Jeff Murray asked Andrew to pray. And Andrew prayed, and the last thing he said in his prayer, if you remember, he said, Lord, help us to be guided by your Holy Spirit. I sat there and I laughed. I'm like, I'm going to wait till the message before I share it with Andrew. Then I'm talking to Vince this morning. And Vince, you probably don't remember this. Vince and I were talking about witnessing, and Vince was sharing something, how he witnessed to somebody at work. I don't know if you remember this, Vince, but you said the words, you know, we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Confirmation. And then Mike Hyde gets up here this morning, I'm breaking a bread, and what do you say? What did you say? I love how the Holy Spirit guides the breaking of bread. The title of my message is Guided by the Holy Spirit. We know in the Christian life, we have competing guides, don't we? The Holy Spirit wants to guide us, but so does Satan. So does our flesh. Now we know as a Christian, Satan cannot enter the believer. He has no power. But he can try to guide us, can he? Influence us, direct us. The noun of the word guides means a person who advises or shows the way to others. The verb of the word guides means to direct or have an influence on the course of an action of someone. To direct or have an influence. Don't we agree as Christians the Holy Spirit wants to guide us? To direct us and influence us? Don't we agree that Satan wants to? Too? Don't you agree that your flesh does? We need to ask ourselves the question, do we allow the Holy Spirit to guide every aspect of our lives? Or maybe a portion of it. Maybe we allow Satan to guide some portions of our lives. He does. Maybe we allow our flesh to guide us in our decisions, and our flesh influences us. From the beginning of time, Satan has tried to guide humans. If you could turn to the Word, I'm going to read Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, the fall. We know the story very well, but we see what Satan did, the serpent. Let's read. Verse 1 says, Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. We know the rest of this chapter, God confronted them. Adam advised, he blamed it on his wife. Eve advised the serpent deceived her, and she ate of it. And we know the punishment of their sin. They were banished from the Garden of Eden. As with Adam and Eve, Satan wants to deceive our lives. He wants you to listen to him. Have a conversation. He tries to guide our lives in many ways to influence us. He wants to create doubt in your faith. He knows your weaknesses. If you struggle with pride, he'll feed your ego with pride. If you struggle with anxiety and stress, he'll feed you with thoughts to go down dark paths of discouragement. Make no mistake about it, he wants to destroy you. Now he can, but he wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to break you. He does not want you to live a Christian life. Or if you are living a Christian life, he wants you to live it kind of, you know, lukewarm. He doesn't want you to go to church. He doesn't want God to use you. He'd rather focus your energy and time on things of the world. He wants to waste your time. I know what you know what I'm talking about. He wants to ruin your relationships. God wants to guide your marriage, but he wants to ruin it. He does not want you to have a godly relationship with your kids. The Holy Spirit does. Satan doesn't want you to. He doesn't want you to be close to your friends. You know, it was fun to have fellowship golfing with the brothers yesterday. I came home and told Caitlin, it's sweet to have fellowship. God doesn't want those friendships. Dave, he does not want you and I to be friends. Or he wants us to be friends constantly fighting. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to guide the world. We see it today. In my job, I work in data and analytics. And I see a lot of data around mental health and substance use. And we all know how prevalent it is in today's world, and it's very sad. And oftentimes I'll get articles across my desk about mental health. So I'll read it for my job. It just piques my interest. And I read an article about a man, a well-known psychologist in the field, wrote an article about mental health in the marriage. I thought this would be interesting to read. I read the article. If I compare what this man's advice was on marriage to what God says what marriage was, there's no comparison. God wants a godly marriage guided by the Spirit. This man's advice was basically appeasing to your flesh. It literally was. But if I went to somebody in the world and said, hey, you know, this is the way God says to do marriage, and the person read that article, they probably would say, you know, Rick, God's way is old. It's like black and white TV. Like Leave It to Beaver. You know, never Leave It to Beaver? I love that show, by the way. Wally was great. But that's what they would say. It's old. God's ways are old. This man's a psychologist. He's been in the field for years. This is the new way how to do marriage. That's what Satan does. He guides the world, and the people in the world read it, and they believe it. I read another article a couple weeks ago. Someone wrote an article about Jesus' love. I wanted to read it. Now, let me tell you something. You cannot write about Jesus' love and not mention the cross. That's the whole point. His love started at the cross. His love started when Adam and Eve sinned, and he started the journey to the cross, and he paid the price on Calvary. His love when he said it was finished. His love when he rose again. His love when he takes the sinner and he says, I'll forgive you, and now you're my child. You can't talk about Jesus' love without mentioning the cross. This person's article did not talk about that. They twisted Scripture. If you compare their love with God writes about love, they didn't match. They're totally opposite. And again, if you talk to someone in the world, they'll say it's old. It's an old way of love. This is the new way, Rick. That's what Satan does. He wants to guide the world, and we see it every day, don't we? In our schools, in your jobs, on TV, internet. That's what Satan does. And as a Christian, going back to being a Christian, he doesn't care how many years you've been a Christian. He'll relentlessly continue to try to guide our lives. But you know what? You know what the beauty of it is? If God shows you something in your life where the Holy Spirit is not guiding and Satan's influencing you, or he shows you an area that the flesh is leading, you can't have victory. Don't forget, as a Christian, who's inside you? The Holy Spirit. He's more powerful than Satan in the flesh. We know Satan and the flesh together are a bad combo because we see them working together. We can defeat him. We can crush our flesh by living a Spirit-filled life, a life guided by the Holy Spirit. A Spirit-filled life. But what does it mean to live a Spirit-filled life? A godly man wrote what it meant, and I paraphrase what they wrote, and I love the explanation. It says, but what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? And he writes, it's not necessarily an emotional experience, nor will necessarily bring some type of spiritual experience. Everybody's looking for some experience. It's not that. He continues, to be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit. It is to be so yielded to Christ that our supreme desire is to do His will. Is this our desire? Is that our supreme desire? He continues, when we come to Christ, the Spirit comes to dwell within us. Praise God. As we grow in Christ, our goal is to be controlled by the Spirit. We need to live in submission, which is getting rid of everything that hinders God's control in our lives. Question I put for myself, am I willing to do this? Remember, Holy Spirit should have every part of your life, not a portion of it. He continues, we need to humble ourselves in obedience. We must yield our life to Christ without reserve, asking Him to fill us and use us for His glory. Amen. Yes, we know the Bible says the Holy Spirit guides the believer in their spiritual life, in their personal life. Let's read a story in the Bible about someone who is guided by the Holy Spirit. We're told about Philip the evangelist, who was guided by the Holy Spirit to preach the good word to the Ethiopian eunuch. But let's read first Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. We're going to read first Acts chapter 6, 1 through 5. We know from earlier in Scripture, in the book of Acts, there are some issues with food distribution in the church. So the disciples asked the church to get together and choose 7 men among them, full of wisdom, to take the responsibility. And Philip was one of these men that was chosen. Let's read Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. The choosing of the 7. Verse 1, in those days when the number of disciples were increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, which we know, Stephen, who was a martyr for Christ. Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And then they put, and also Philip and the other gentlemen that were selected. Philip was chosen because he was full of the Spirit. You know, I hope God chooses all of us to be used by Him because we're full of the Spirit. So let's continue with Philip's story. We're now going to turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40. It's titled Philip and the Ethiopian. Let's see what happens when someone is guided by the Holy Spirit. I've always loved this story. Because what Philip did, how God guided him, and the results. Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40, it starts. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasure of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot. He didn't walk, he ran. I always thought that was telling. He ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth, but in humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants from his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with a very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave orders to the chariot, gave orders to stop the chariot. Then Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip was baptized. When they came out of the water, the Spirit suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Zetotas and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Think about the story I just read about Philip. He was full of the Spirit. We can't debate that. His gas tank was full for the Lord. He had no room for the flesh. He had no room for Satan's influence. It was 100% guided by the Lord. A couple of points. Because he was guided by the Holy Spirit, he was at the right place at the right time. When the Holy Spirit guides you, he'll guide you to the right place at the right time. Because he was guided by the Holy Spirit, when the Lord spoke to him, he obeyed without hesitation. He ran. Basically, by his action, he said, "Yes, Lord." Sometimes when God speaks to us, we don't run when he wants us to run. We wait, we crawl, we complain. When you're guided by the Spirit, you run. Because he was guided by the Holy Spirit, he had no distraction to keep him from not hearing the Lord speak to him. His ears were clean. They weren't clogged. Satan wants to clog your ears. Your flesh wants to clog your ears so you can't hear the Lord speak to you. But when you're guided by the Spirit, you can hear him more clear, can't you? You all know when you're getting attacked. You know when you're distracted. You know when Satan's pounding you. You know when your flesh rises. But when you're guided by the Spirit, you can hear the Lord speak to you in the quietness of your heart. You have no room for him. You have no room for your flesh. Philip had no room. Because he was guided by the Holy Spirit, he was ready to have the right conversation. Wasn't he ready? God wants you ready to serve him. But he's not guiding you. You might not be ready. It's like me wearing a suit today. If I'm too distracted, maybe I don't have a tie or jacket on. I'm not fully dressed. Right? But when you're fully guided by the Spirit, you're completely dressed ready for the situation. Philip was dressed. Because he was guided by the Holy Spirit, the Lord took him away to continue to be used. As we read in Scripture, Philip continued to be used. Now on this day, if Philip saw the Ethiopian and wanted to go talk to him, and the Holy Spirit said no, would Philip have gone? No. Even if he wanted to, maybe God would have said, you know, not today. See, sometimes God will say that. Maybe you want to do something for the Lord, and God says, you know what, not today. Wait. But on this day, Philip was guided, and what happened? He was used by God. He was effective for his kingdom. Okay, someone got saved. And only the Lord knows how many people got saved from that eunuch, from the Ethiopian eunuch. And God got the glory and praised. See, that's what God wants to do when the Holy Spirit guides you. You're used. You're effective. He gets the glory. Remember, he will produce the good works. The Ethiopian eunuch on this day needed to see a Christian who was Spirit-filled and guided by the Holy Spirit. He didn't need to see a carnal Christian. He didn't need to see somebody who didn't know his word. That's what he needed, and God brought it to him, and he got saved. See, the world needs that today, doesn't it? It needs Christians who are touched by the Lord, who are Spirit-filled and Spirit-guided. He needs us like he needed Philip. Are you willing to say yes? Are you willing for him to guide everything? Now, I'm not saying every time you witness to somebody, they may get saved. The Holy Spirit may guide you to plant a seed. The Holy Spirit may guide you into a trial or a test. Sometimes God guides us to work on our character. The most important thing that we need to remember is that every aspect of our lives are guided. It's beneficial for us to be guided by the Holy Spirit. I wrote some things years ago when I was studying about this topic in a devotion, and there was numerous things about the beneficial of having the Holy Spirit in you. And I'll read a couple because we don't have time. But this is what the Holy Spirit does. It convicts us of sin, which is good. We need to be convicted of sin. It gives us the power to witness. I cannot witness if the Holy Spirit is not behind me. It teaches us what to say. Sometimes we're worried, what do I say? Don't worry, the Holy Spirit will teach you. It keeps us in touch with God, the most important relationship you need to foster. It encourages us. The Holy Spirit encourages us. That's his job. The Holy Spirit gives you joy and peace. He works in us. He gives us gifts. It's beneficial to the Holy Spirit lead. Amen? As Christians, when we got saved, when we asked Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, we remember that day, don't we? And we acknowledge His work on the cross and ask Him to forgive our sins. At that moment, a gift of love was given to you, the Holy Spirit, and your relationship began. Pause and meditate on that for a second. Think about your life before Christ, who you were. Think about the day you got saved. Jesus heard you cry out for salvation. Forgive me, Lord, for my sin. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. And He says, here I give you a gift, the Holy Spirit. It indwells within you. Isn't that amazing to think about? Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that something to take serious? To not take for granted? I think we sleep on it sometimes. I think we don't appreciate God's gift to us. I don't think we do. And I'm talking to myself here. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. Rick Punzo, what I've been through, what I've done, yeah, God's given me that gift like He's given it to you, a gift of love. Don't take it for granted. Give Him all your heart. Don't let Satan guide you. Don't let your flesh guide you. But we know as Christians, as time goes on, we have struggles. We don't pray as much. We don't read His word. We don't fellowship. We don't come to church. Now, we all know sometimes you can't come, right, when you're sick. We all know that. There's times when Satan or your flesh says, I don't want to go to church today. And you're perfectly fine. We let our guard down. We don't crucify our flesh daily. Satan attacks and we listen to him. We have a conversation. We have our pride. Me, myself, attitude. We rely on our own wisdom, like that lady who was walking on that path with the bison. She thought she can get by. And we can quench the spirit in our life. Squish. You ever have those machines that condense air, like you want to pack and you want to condense it? That's what we do. We quench the Holy Spirit. We take it all out of our bodies. We can be guided more by the enemy than the Holy Spirit. We can be guided more by our flesh than our Holy Spirit. So we need to check ourselves. I was challenged by this message because the Lord hit me hard and said, Rick, the Holy Spirit needs to guide every aspect of your life. Doesn't matter how many years you've been with a Christian, you got to check yourself. But praise God, we can pray to the Lord if He shows us. Pray to have a heart. We got to have a heart for it. You got to have a passion for the Lord. If you don't have a passion for the Lord, you won't live the Christian life. If it's not in here, if you have a heart for it, if you don't have a heart to say, Lord, I'll give you everything, you won't even make it. You'll be a carnal Christian. You'll come to church, you'll sit there, but God won't use you. I'm speaking to myself here. You got to have a heart for it. Pray for a heart. If you don't have a heart for it, pray for it. If God shows you there's something in your life, make right with the Lord. If you are struggling, God's okay hearing your struggles. He wants to hear your struggles. You know why? Because He'll listen to you. He's compassionate. He'll forgive you. He'll encourage you. He'll say, don't give up. If we need guidance, sometimes in our Christian's life, we don't know if the Holy Spirit's guiding us. It could be a tough situation. Talk to godly people. Talk to the elders. Talk to Dean, who knows his word, encourage you. Talk to Mike. Talk to your elder. They can encourage you and help you. We need it. Don't be so prideful where you can't get help. I wouldn't be anywhere near the Lord if I didn't have the godly people in my life. The Sylvia who's getting the surgeries now, getting her surgery now. The Sally Randalls of the world, the Adel Ackles, the Bill Murrays. Because I sought help in my time of need, and they guided me. This is how to live the godly life, right? This is how to live a life guided by the Spirit. And I'm forever grateful. So brothers, in conclusion, and sisters in the Lord, remember we can have victories. Be open to the Lord. But let's encourage each other to live a life where the Holy Spirit is not quenched, but living a life where the Spirit is filled, or 100% for the Lord. A life guided by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's end in word and prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time that we gather in your name, Lord. We come here on Sunday mornings to break bread, to fellowship, to serve in all the ministries, and gather in the second half to hear a song, to hear your word. We gather in your name, Lord. We gather because you saved us in our time of need. You, Lord, you deserve all of us, Lord. You deserve all of us to give all to you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit may guide us to be the Christians that you want us to be. Lord, we know when the Holy Spirit guides, you get honor and glory. We're used, Lord. We're effective. That's our purpose, is to be used and be effective for you, Lord. It's not a me, myself, I, and I life. So, Lord, as we walk out these doors and you show us, and you show us these areas where we struggle, or Satan's influencing us in our flesh, help us to just go to you in prayer and ask for help, and we know we'll have victory. But, Lord, let's check ourselves. Let us be Christians where we can say, Lord, that we're Spirit-filled and that you're guiding our lives, Lord Jesus. We just pray all these things in your most precious and holy name. Amen.